Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, The Teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us.
You lift me up high, you spread my wings and fly me to the sky. I feel so alive, it's like my soul thrives in your light. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today in this program, we are going to be discussing about the reality of the jinns. You have heard the word jinn, right? Yeah, that scary jinn, right? A handful of strange ideas immediately come to mind. Entities possessing dreadful appearances, who have horns and tails, are harmful, troublesome, malicious and ill-mannered, who can set a house on fire by pouring a cauldron of boiling water in one corner of the house. You know, these are the types of imaginations that come to our mind when we talk about jinn, right? These are examples of such fanciful and superstitious beliefs, which have nothing to do with realities, brothers and sisters. Yeah, forget about those horror movies. Yeah. No, I'm serious. There are a few things we're going to talk about. Jinns, which is a creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like human beings. Okay. This creature exists just like we exist. Okay. Few things that we're going to be talking about the jinns today are going to be out of Quran, the noble Quran, the word of Allah. So let's see how the creator of humans as well as jinns, the creator, how he has addressed jinns and what has he told us about jinns. So the first one is from Surah Rahman. This is a chapter Rahman, which is chapter 55 of Quran, and it's verse 15. It says, it is an entity that has been created from the flames of fire, unlike man, who has been created from earth. So Allah is telling us that, you know, these two creations, humans and jinns, okay? One I created with earth, and then the other one I created with fire, okay? The second one is basically compiled from various verses of Surah Al-Jinn, which is a chapter called Jinn in Quran. So jinns, it's interesting that they possess knowledge. They possess perception. They have faculty of logic. They also have the power of reasoning. You didn't think so, huh? And they can distinguish between truth and falsehood. Wow. Just like us. Amazing, right? The next point I have for you is that the jinns possess religious obligations and responsibilities. This is proven from the verses of Surah Jinn and Surah Al-Waqi'ah. So they have like a Sharia, apparently. They have like those do's and don'ts of Islam. They're a creature of Allah. Allah made laws for them too. I don't know how similar those laws are to human beings and human society, but, you know, nevertheless, the bottom line is that the jinns, they have obligations and responsibilities. They're not just, you know, roaming around and laying on the mountaintop, you know, just chilling and on seas, sure, like in jungles. No, they've got responsibilities too, okay? The next point is that some of them are believers while others are disbelievers. Wow. So this tells us that they're a creature somewhat close to human beings. This is pretty amazing, right? So they have mu'mins and they have kafir too, just like we do today, right? Those who are believers or faithful and those who are disbelievers, okay? So how do we know this, that there are believers and disbelievers? It's actually from Surah Al-Jinn. You can look that up in Quran, inshallah, which is chapter 72, and it's verse 11. It says, there are among us some that are righteous and some the contrary. Okay? Last but not the least, jinns will also be resurrected. You never thought about that one. True? Right. So they will be resurrected just like human beings. This means their actions, whatever they're doing in this world, right? If they are the believers or not, if they're submissive to Allah or not, you know, just like humans, right? They have that free will. They have that choice. Okay, so they're good jinns and they're bad jinns, right? Rest assured that they will be asked of what they did and what they didn't do, okay? So after the break, we're going to come back and go over a few more of these interesting facts about the jinns. Stay with us.
Tricks of Shaitan, in the words of Noman Ali Khan.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فدلاهما بغرور رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. The 22nd ayah of Surah Al-A'raf is a long one, but in this brief reminder, I want to share with you the first part of the expression that's used in it that has just an incredible amount of wisdom for life in our dealings with shaitan. Allah Azza wa Jalla is describing how shaitan got our parents, Adam and Hawa, salamun alayhima, to make the mistake that they made. What was his strategy to get them to listen to him? Not just what he said to them. We all know that he whispered to them. We all know that he offered them eternity and that they could stay in Jannah. We know that. But how did he do it? What method did he use? That method is important to understand, and it's captured in the first expression of the ayah, فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. He, dalla is used when you draw a bucket. Like dalu in Arabic is a bucket. And adla is to drop a bucket down and pull it right back up. You know, in the old times there's a well and you kind of crank up the water, you know, and you pull the bucket back up. This is adla. But dalla is to slowly lower the bucket, or to put a bucket, you know, for a very primitive way of hunting an animal. You have some food, like a carrot or something, you put it inside a bucket and it's tied to a rope, and the animal comes and you kind of pull it little by little by little by little towards yourself, and the animal follows it. This is actually called dalla. Like literally, shaitan didn't go out and say, disobey Allah. He offered it a little bit, just a small little bit of compromise, and they listened, and then he offered just a little bit more. It's harmless. What I'm saying isn't haram. I'm just saying, just don't take it a little bit easy, you know? And then you don't have to eat from this tree, in the case of our parents. You don't have to eat from, I'm not saying you should eat from the tree. I'm just saying at least check it out. It's a beautiful tree. There's no harm looking at it, is there? Now look, Allah's commandment was, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Don't go near this tree. So the first thing he says, look, at least you're not touching it, okay? At least you're not touching it. Just go near it. What's the big deal? And then when they go near, then you know what? It's not like you're not supposed to climb it. You're just not supposed to eat from it. Just have a little climb, it's no big deal. And it's not at one time. Dalla also suggests that these suggestions came a day, then another day, then another day, then another day. Like this was a process for this guy. It wasn't like he whispered to Adam alayhi salam and immediately he went and ate from the tree. There's actually an entire strategic, little by little by little, winning over the argument that he's doing. فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. And that's what he does to us to this day. This is the reason it's mentioned in the Quran, that he drew them out with using this, and the bighurur I didn't translate, using deception. This is a kind of deception. In other words, there are things that are clearly wrong. You and I know that. There are things that are clearly, clearly wrong. But there are a lot of small, not as clearly wrong steps
that are there that you should have the sense to know, if I take this one tiny step, tomorrow I'll be taking another tiny step, and then another, and then another, and before I know it, I'll end up in the wrong. So you have to put protective measures in place. And when you put those protective measures in place, it keeps you from falling into trouble. Now shaitan comes and he talks, he doesn't attack, or he doesn't tell you to make the haram into halal. Oh, that's too direct. And the Muslim will say, no, it's obviously haram. I'm not going to do that. He comes and he says, listen, this one little step I'm asking you to take, it's clearly not haram. That's not wrong. You could do that much at least. There's nobody that can blame you for that. And then people come and say to the scholar, to the alim, to the da'i, to the khatib, hey, so I know that doing, you know, drinking is wrong. But can I hang out with friends who drink? I mean, I'm not going to the bar or anything, but sometimes they drink in my office. Can I just be with them? Just, you know, because, you know, they're my friends. Can I at least do that much? Is it absolutely haram for me to do that? And the scholar will say something like, you know, I advise you not to do it. It's not a good idea. It's bad company. But is it haram? Is it absolutely haram? And he says, well, I don't know if I could say it's okay, thanks, I got my answer. It's not absolutely haram, which means I could do it. And that's how shaitan gets you to first hang out with them. Then they say, hey, we're going to the bar, you want to come along? Then you go to the bar and you're just having a Coke or whatever, and they're drinking their beer. And then eventually, one late night, you know, it's a little bit of a, can you just slip some in? You know, somebody gave it to you, or they slipped it into your drink and you didn't realize. And you're like, well, I didn't intend to do it. And it's just one thing after another, after another, after another. SubhanAllah. This is فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. This is the same surah in which Allah mentions the story of Barsisa, who went little by little by little into sin. You know, and this is not the occasion to tell you that story, but the point is the same. Shaitan will not come at you directly calling you to do the wrong thing. Shaitan will come at you to try to just compromise or get on the road to the wrong. And by the way, when you're on that road, until you do the wrong, nobody can come out and directly tell you, listen, by the way, this is wrong what you're doing. Because it's not wrong. It's on the road to it. And you, if you don't recognize that you're being pulled slowly but surely towards it, then you only have yourself to blame. This is why Allah's commandment to Adam alayhi salam, the advice to Adam alayhi salam, wasn't just don't eat from this tree. The advice was don't go near it. There's a big difference between those two things, you know? And so you and I have to recognize there are some things that are clearly haram, but there's a road that leads to them. We have to watch out and not go on that track that shaitan's trying to reel us into. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You came to me in that hour of need, when I was so lost, so lonely. You came to me, took my breath away, showed me the right way, the way to lead. You filled my heart with love, showed me the light above. Now all I want is to be with you. You are my one true love, taught me to never judge. Now all I want is to be with you. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Mustafa ala Habibika.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to The Teacher. So, in this episode and today's talk, we're discussing the jinns, right? Jinns, which are a creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like human beings are a creature of Allah as well, right? So these jinns, they exist, okay? These jinns, they, you know, have several different activities that they carry out in their lives, just like human beings. They've got responsibilities to take care of, okay? So these jinns, they exist first, and they are not what we seem to think that they may be. No, they're not, okay? It's not anything that the horror movies tell us, okay? The horror movies, forget about them, seriously, forget about them. What Quran has to say about the jinns and this creature of Allah is what is important for us to know, okay? So we discussed 5 points before we went on to the break, and now I'm going to move on to the 6th point about jinns, and we're trying to understand what this creature is. Well, they initially possessed the power to penetrate into the skies. There was a time back then. they could eavesdrop and procure news, but then later on they were prohibited. Okay, so why do we, like, where do we bring these facts from? Again, go to Surah Al-Jinn. This is the chapter of Jinn, which is the chapter number 72 of Quran. And then look at verse 9. It says, "And that we used to sit in some of the sitting places thereof to steal a hearing, but he who would try to listen now would find a flame lying in wait for him." Okay, so this is where we bring the fact that they initially possessed the power to penetrate into the skies. Then later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he prohibited it for them. The seventh point is that they used to establish contact with some of the people, and by means of limited knowledge of the unseen that they possessed, endeavored to misguide the people. You know how we said that they're good jinns and they're bad jinns? They're believer jinns and they're disbeliever jinns. They're the guided jinns and they're the ones who, you know, misguide others. So this point is actually talking about that. Again, same chapter of Quran, Al-Jinn, go to verse 6. It says, "And that persons from among men used to seek refuge with the persons from among jinn." So they increased them in wrongdoing. Okay, they made them go astray. Last but not the least, actually, we've got two more points. "From amongst them, there are two who, like some humans, possess great powers." Okay. Verse 39 of Surah Naml, which is chapter 27. Okay. "One audacious among the jinn said, 'I will bring it to you before you rise up from your place. And most surely, I'm strong and trusty for it.'" Okay, so there are some jinns who have more power than other jinns, just like humans. Humans, you know, they come in different size and shapes, different powers and different levels of their control. So do jinns, okay? The ninth point is they possess the power to perform some of the tasks that are required by man. So this fact comes from the chapter Saba, which is the 34th chapter of Quran, verse 12 and 13. And you can read that verse because we are limited on time and I want to give you one more point before I let you go. So the last but not the least, this point, it says, "Their creation on the earth was prior to man's creation." You didn't think that that's the case, right? So the jinns, they were created before the human beings were created. And where do we bring this fact from? This comes from chapter 15, which is the Surah Al-Hijr, okay? Chapter 15, verse 27. Don't forget to look it up, okay? This is important, brothers and sisters. We should take a sneak peek at Quran every once in a while, you know, even if we are busy. This is important. So verse 27 says, "And the jinn we created before of intensely hot fire." Okay? Imam Ali alayhi salam, he has a hadith, and I will end with this. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Allah has created the jinn in five kinds. Some are like the wind in the air, invisible. Some are in the form of snakes. Some in the form of scorpions. Some in the form of insects of the earth. While some are like the humans, and they shall be subjected to reckoning and punishment." Thank you for listening to today's show. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and bye. حبيب التائبين يا شهر الصائمين وروحا للمعاني تقيم الوحي فينا حبيب التائبين يا
شغل الصائمين وروحا للمعاني تقيم الوحي فينا محارب اتصال برب العالمين وروضات سناها تقيم الوحي فينا محارب